All right, everybody, welcome to the Old Time Dragnet Show. This is your host, Adam Graham. As usual, coming to you from Boise, Idaho, this show is on the Blueberry Network at blueberrywithnoes.com. And as always, feel free to email me about the show, adam@adamsweb.us, or visit our blog, www.orble.com/dragnet-radio-show. Please, as always, remember to cast a vote for us at Podcast Alley, podcastalley.com. You just put Dragnet in the search bar, and you can cast your vote. Some people have left some very nice comments in past weeks, and I definitely appreciate it, but it's not necessary to leave comments to vote there. You can just cast your vote, and it's definitely appreciated because it does make the show more visible and get more people to listen to it. Alright, so I don't have a whole lot to get into in this particular episode. It's a very interesting one. As I was talking about before we came on, this one was actually, there were some old-time radio enthusiasts who got together a few years back, and they actually produced their own Dragnet episode based on actual scripts, and they had Walter Schumann and some of the other people who made the music and were still living. They actually went ahead and they came on and they did the music, and some of them did the sound effects for the first time, of course, in about 40 years. This was back in 1991. And this episode was the basis. They changed a couple details in there, but this episode was the basis, or one of them. And this is a very interesting feature. We get to hear from Jill Friday's mother again. I've not listened to the whole thing, but this is the second episode in which she appeared. The first was in a where there was a phone conversation. And that, of course, is not something you see in the Dragnet that everybody knows, the 1960s TV version. That's just simply not portrayed. So you get to hear a little bit, something a little bit different about Joe Friday here. So that makes it a very interesting show. So, without any further ado, and the only other thing I think I've failed to mention so far is to please go by our online community, dragnetradio.ning.com, and contribute, make some comments, talk about episodes you liked and such, and we definitely appreciate that. But with that, we are ready to go, and here now, we are pleased to present the Big Badge.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to homicide detail. For 2 months, a depraved criminal has been at work in your city. Men and women have been robbed, brutally attacked. Your job, get him.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Wednesday, March 7th. It was cloudy in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of homicide. My partner's Ben Romero, the boss is Thad Brown, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. I was on the way home from the office, and it was 2:25 a.m. when I got to Collis Avenue, number 4656.
Joseph? Is that you?
Yeah, Ma. Did I wake you?
Well, what time is it?
A little after 2.
Oh, you can't keep this up. You've got to have your
rest. Don't worry, I'm okay. We got any cold meat in the icebox?
There's some pressed ham, a few slices of bologna. Didn't you have any dinner?
A couple of hamburgers and a piece of pie. I got hungry again.
I had some nice beef stew for dinner. There's some left in the icebox. I'll come down and warm it for you.
No, no. All I want's a sandwich, Ma. You go on back to sleep.
Oh, you can't live on pie and sandwiches and keep up your strength. Working all hours, first thing you know, you'll be getting sick. You need your food and you need your rest. Nobody cares when you're sick.
You didn't have to get up, Ma. All I want's a sandwich. I can fix it.
You better have a bowl full of stew. Here, it'll take a minute to warm it up. Nice new potatoes in it. Some of those onions you like, too. Like Bermudas.
Okay, not too much now. I'll get the milk.
It's 2:30 in the morning. What kept you so late again?
Another stakeout, same job.
Another murder in Highland Park?
No, Ma, the badge bandit, the one that poses as a policeman.
Oh, that one. Yeah. You certainly ought to do something about him.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to. I can't find him.
There was a piece in the paper about it tonight. They say it's just terrible the way he beats up people and robs them.
Yeah.
Badge bandit. The way he treats women ought to be a shame. They ought to put him away.
Yeah. You got some more rye bread?
Mm-hmm. Are you going to have tomorrow off, Joseph?
Thanks. No. The captain says we work straight through till we get the guy.
Oh. I thought you were going to have tomorrow off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you ought to tell the captain. You need your rest. You can't go on like this working all hours. You'll be coming down sick one of these days.
Mm-hmm. 15 robberies, 15 assaults, all in 2 months. Somebody's got to stop them. You ready?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Well, can't they warn the people? They wouldn't be getting robbed and beaten up if they weren't parked in those lonely places. Spooning, so silly.
Yeah. I'm afraid we can't do anything about that, Ma. It's a public place. They've got a right to park there.
Yeah, I suppose. Let me have your plate.
Right here. Now, hold it, hold it. That's fine.
Another spoonful. You can't work if you don't eat.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It is good still.
Yeah, sure it is. But you're down at ShopRite's nice. His stewing beef's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Been work late with you?
Yeah, his wife's sore, too. He hasn't been home much since we started on this. It's a tough one.
Oh, my. Well, times certainly have changed since I was a girl. All this robbing, beating up. Crazy people.
Yeah. Any mail today?
No, there's a couple of bills.
Well, you set the alarm. I got to check back in at 8 in the morning.
8 o'clock? Why so early?
Badge Bandit's got 2 more victims tonight. They're college kids. Oh. Doctor says he didn't think we should talk to him tonight, so we'll have to see him tomorrow morning at the hospital.
Were they badly injured?
Well, pretty bad. A boy took a terrible beating. A girl was attacked, same as the others.
Oh, my.
Well, it's very good, Ma. I'm going to get to bed.
Yes, well, your face looks so thin. You need all the rest you can get.
I'll get it.
How can that be? It's almost 3 in the morning.
Hello?
This is Lorman down Homicide, Joe. Sorry to bother you.
Yeah, Lorman. What is it?
Captain wants you and Romero to meet him in Hollywood and Laurel right away.
What's the matter now?
Attack and hold up in Laurel Canyon 20 minutes ago.
Yeah?
Got the area blocked off. Figure they got the man trapped.
Victims, get out and look at the guy.
Same description, the badge bandit.
I left the house, went over and picked up Ben. We drove out to the edge of the Santa Monica Mountains where Hollywood Boulevard ends and Laurel Canyon begins. We headed back into the canyon to the blockaded area. Captain Steed from Homicide was there waiting for us.
Hi, Skip.
Hiya. Just a minute. Taylor, call communications again. Have them tell the men out on the bench floor to start moving in.
Right, Captain.
Sorry to call you back. Couldn't be helped.
Okay. How's it shaping
Control
up?
Control 3, commander of search detail in vicinity of Laurel Canyon. Unit 62K reports that they are at Mulholland Drive and Oakstone Avenue. Nothing further to report.
Okay,
no
what
did
you say, Joe?
I said, how's it shaping up?
Well, there's a sketch of the area. It covers just about all the Laurel Canyon district.
Yeah?
Badge Bandit got his victims near the top of this hill here.
Mm-hmm.
Old man in the neighborhood heard a woman scream and phoned in.
How sure are we the guy didn't get away?
Well, the man who called in said the bandit had trouble starting his car. Finally, left it and took off into the brush. He was headed west down this road here.
Captain, yeah, I just had a call from communications. The crew from Leighton Prince are on the way.
All right. Any report from the detail up on Canyon Road?
Nothing yet. I'll stand by the radio.
Okay.
How much area we got to cover?
Well, from the mouth of the canyon here all the way back to Ventura Boulevard. On the west here, from Lookout Mountain Avenue over to Crestview Drive on the east.
How much have we got to go on?
Crowley talked to the victims for a minute before they took him to Georgia Street.
Yeah.
The guy's description is the same. Heavy set, blonde hair, chubby face, horn-rimmed glasses.
Mm-hmm. Well, if he's on foot, there's plenty of underbrush around here to hide him.
Just a minute, Anna. I want to get this call in first.
Taylor.
I have communications contract 72K. Tell them to hold their line stationary.
Yeah.
We'll have the others close in from the west and the north.
Right.
You two better get up on Groveland Drive. Line's pretty thin up there. Olsen can use the help.
Is that the area where you abandoned the car?
Yeah. I want you to cover all the houses in that area. Check with everybody you can find in the neighborhood. They may be able to help. If they don't answer, find out why.
Okay.
I'll be making the rounds in another 10 minutes. Check with you then.
All right. Let's go,
oh,
Joe.
One more thing.
Yes, sir?
I'll tell you what I told the rest of the men. This guy's in a corner and he's got a gun. There's only one way out for him.
Yeah?
Make sure it's not you.
3:45 a.m. Ben and I drove up to Groveland Drive and joined the search. We started our house-to-house canvas of the neighborhood where the suspect had abandoned his car. None of the residents had any further information to give us. 4 a.m., we kept on checking.
23 hours. Long shift.
Yeah. I could use some sleep.
Wife of mine is boiling mad. She's even mad at the kid.
Yeah? What's the trouble?
Oh, aunt of hers sent down some flower bulbs from Oregon yesterday. Gladiola bulbs.
Yeah.
Kid was playing with a little girl next door yesterday, and they found a box of flower bulbs. They put the mess up in a pot of water and boiled them on the stove.
What'd they do that for?
Who knows?
There's another house up ahead. We better check it.
Yeah.
We ought to get some street lights up here.
Yeah. Nice work, waking people up in the middle of the night.
Oh, I don't like it any more than they do.
Wish we could make them believe that. Nice neighborhood up here. Wonder what the price is on these lots.
Well, it shouldn't be too high. They say real estate's coming down.
Yeah, what is it?
Police officers. Sorry to disturb you. We'd like to talk to you a minute.
Oh, all right. Let me get the door open.
What's been going on in the neighborhood tonight? Some kind of trouble? Cars racing up and down the hill? What's the trouble?
Have you noticed any strangers in the neighborhood last hour?
No, I just got to bed 20 minutes ago. I work out of Paramount for shooting nights. What's all the commotion anyway?
We're looking for a suspect. He's supposed to be around this area.
Well, I haven't seen anybody. I thought I heard somebody out by the garage a few minutes ago. Went out and looked around, but I didn't see anything.
Did you check to see if your car is still in the garage?
No, I left it in the driveway.
No, sir, there's no car in your driveway.
Sure there is. Let me show you. Hey, it's gone.
Can we use your phone?
Yeah. But I saw it just a few minutes ago. The car was right there in the driveway. You think that guy took my car?
Yes, sir. It's a pretty good bet. You got your license number handy there?
I don't remember it. I got it on the card in my wallet.
Give me communication.
Can you give us a description of your car?
It's a Plymouth sedan, black. Two-door sedan.
With search detail, Laurel Canyon. I got some new information for all units in the detail.
Here's the license number.
Oh, thanks. Now, will you broadcast this information to all units in the search detail?
What was the make and model of your car?
46 black Plymouth, a two-door sedan.
1946 black Plymouth, two-door sedan, license number, let me see, 7X-ray 2569. This car's just been stolen from 10211 Groveland Drive.
Any identifying marks on the car?
Well, I left my keys in it.
No, no, sir. I mean, any special markings on the car? Maybe a dent in one of the fenders?
Well,
Here, George, hold on. We're getting it.
The right headlight went out on me last night. I haven't had it fixed yet.
The right headlight on the car's out. Notify all units in the search detail that we believe suspect is now in possession of this car. Right, thank you.
Let's go.
Must have happened in the last 15 minutes. I heard that noise and I went out to check. The car was there then.
Well, here's our card. We'll be checking with you later.
Yeah, I sure hope you find it. I don't know how I can get to work tomorrow without my car.
Yeah, we'll notify you.
Yeah, gee, I sure hope you find it.
Thanks for your help. Well, Ben.
Groveland Drive. The right headlight is out.
Oh, I got
it.
The
suspect.
I don't think he could have gotten that car through the blockade, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Better start searching the side roads, huh?
Yeah. There's one. Leading off to the left, up ahead.
Okay, let's try it. Wait a minute. There's a car coming down the hill toward us.
Sure is making time. Joe. Only one headlight on the
car. Coming right at us. Turn around, quick.
There's no room.
Get over to the inside.
I can't. It's too late.
Ben, turn.
Hang on. We're going over.
all units in search detail in the vicinity of Laurel Canyon. ADK reports theft
Ben?
Of a 1946.
You all right?
Ben.
An ambulance was called, and Ben and I were taken to Georgia Street Receiving Hospital. There I received emergency treatment for multiple cuts and bruises and a sprained left shoulder. Ben didn't do so well. He had a possible concussion, two broken ribs, and a half a dozen severe cuts about the face and arms. We were then taken to the P&F ward. The next afternoon, we had a visit from Captain Steed and Chief of Detective Thad Brown.
Friday, how you feeling?
Oh, pretty good, Chief.
You saw Romero across the hall. You came out better than he did.
Yeah, that's what I hear. You resting any?
Oh, much better. No danger involved. Needs rest, that's about all.
How long?
Oh, he'll be here 2 weeks, according to the doctor. What about you?
A couple of days.
Too bad, Joe.
Badge bandit?
Yeah. Looks like you two got banged up for nothing.
Huh?
After he rammed your car, he ditched the Black Plymouth, and then we figure he hit with the underbrush.
Yeah?
Somehow, while we were hauling you and Ben out of that wreck, he slipped through the line.
Any fingerprints on the car?
None we could use.
It's rotten luck. I guess it was his night, huh?
We're getting more men from Metro Division to help out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doubling the number of decoys around the city.
Police women, huh?
And we'll have each of them planted in a parked car along with an officer in every area of the Badge Bandit's been working. All he has to do is grab at the bait once.
Yeah, if he goes for it.
And then plenty of time to choose. We work the same setup every night till we reach him.
It's a big operation. Might have to run it for weeks, unless he quits.
Well, there's only one way a guy like that ever quits,
when
we stop him.
Saturday, March 10th, 2 p.m. I was released from the P&F ward and went home. Ben stayed on at the hospital. He had at least another 10 days to go before release. Sunday, I spent at home. Monday afternoon, I checked back in at the office, and Captain Steed put me on decoy duty for that week, along with policewoman Dorothy River. We were assigned to cover an isolated parking area near Mulholland Drive and Beverly Glen. It was a nice view, but the duty was slow. No sign on the Badge Bandit. Policewoman River and I waited it out from late evening to early morning, from Monday through Thursday. Friday night came. Same thing. We waited.
How's Ben? You see him today?
Yeah, he's doing fine. Be out next week.
Grouchy, I guess.
Oh, sure.
You want a cigarette?
Thank you.
You can sure tell it's Friday night.
Yeah.
Mm. Thanks. College kids are out in force.
Mm-hmm. What time you got?
Quarter to two. Long nights.
Yeah. Slow.
I'm cold.
No, are you?
Just a little. It's chilly up here in the early morning. What's that?
Car full of kids just pulling out.
Are the cars gone too?
Yeah. We're the only ones left.
These stakeouts get my nerves.
So, look, if you're cold, you can have my coat. It doesn't bother me.
No, it's right, Joe. Thanks. It's a beautiful view from up here, isn't it? All the lights.
Yeah.
You like to dance, Joe?
What?
I said you like to dance.
Oh, once in a while, I guess. I'm not too good. Why?
Well, our club's having its big annual dance 2 weeks from Saturday.
Yeah.
Might get a kick out of it. It's formal.
Well, it leaves me out. I don't own a tux.
You could rent one. It'd be fun.
Nah, I'm afraid I don't look good in a tux.
I never met a man who thought he did. Why don't you try it?
I might be working.
Well, I mean, if you're not working, why don't you come?
You going?
Well, I was planning on it.
Got a date?
Yeah. I have hopes.
There's a car pulling in. Let's see. Yeah, parked over in back of us.
I can only make out one person in the car.
Yeah, looks like a man. I can't be sure. All right, come on, we're closer. We might as well look the part, huh?
All right.
He's getting out of the car.
Is he coming this way?
Walking over to the side of the road. He's got a flashlight. Looking around.
He's built like the Badge Bandit. Short, heavy set.
Yeah, he's turning around. He's got his flashlight on us.
He's coming up on your side of the car.
All right, take it easy. You know what to do.
Come on, out of that car. Police officer.
All right, hold on.
Got a gun, Joe.
Yeah.
Come on, I said out of the car, both of you.
All right, drop the gun. Drop it.
That's him.
Yeah.
Now I'll get the cuffs on him.
Thanks. I didn't think I hit him that hard.
You didn't, I did.
Policewoman Dorothy River and I took the suspect to Hollywood Division, where he was booked on suspicion of robbery. He gave his name as Charles Leon Kirby, age 46. Monday, March 19th, Ben was released from the hospital and checked back in for work. A special show-up was held at which 10 of the 17 victims definitely identified Kirby as the Badge Bandit. The suspect had finally been apprehended. Now we started the slow process of formally charging the man and presenting our evidence against him to bring him to trial. 10 a.m., Ben and I went across the street to the sixth floor of the Hall of Justice to present our case against Kirby and to obtain a formal complaint against him. We met with Deputy District Attorney Broker.
When did you get out of the hospital, Ben?
This morning. Sure got sick of that place.
Heard about your accident. That guy sure gave you enough trouble, didn't he?
Yeah, he's still giving us trouble.
How's that?
He got in a tangle with another prisoner out in the Hollywood Division.
Yeah?
The other prisoner gave Kirby a pretty bad going over. Cut him up and broke his left forearm. They're moving him in an ambulance from Hollywood to the prison ward at the General Hospital.
When did this happen?
Just this morning. I think they're moving him downtown now.
Tough one. Now, how about your reports on Kirby? Are they all in order?
Here's a summary report. Alleges 10 positive identifications containing 10 counts for robbery and 10 counts of forcible rape.
All right.
Here are 7 other crime reports. Only partial identification on these.
Okay. What have you got for corroborating evidence against him?
Oh, we went through Kirby's apartment. Found at least a dozen pieces of property that he took from his victims.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly watches and jewelry. The victims identified every piece we found.
Okay, let me get the details on it. No. Excuse me a minute.
Sure.
Broker speaking. Yes, no, you, Friday.
Thank you. Friday. When? Yeah, right away. Well, that does it.
What's the matter?
Kirby, he just broke out of that ambulance.
You are listening to Dragnet, the case history of a police investigation presented in the public interest by Fatima Cigarettes.
As soon as word of Kirby's escape came through, the information was broadcast to all points. All available cruiser cars and men were rushed to the escape area, and a door-to-door canvas got underway. All of the men were given mugshots of Kirby together with his description. 11 a.m., Ben and I got back to the office. Found a message from Captain Steed to meet him in the chief of detective's office.
No man in that area until further notice. Check the bus depots and the Union Station. Right.
What's the story, Chief?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Where'd he make the break?
Near 4th and Main. Couldn't have picked a better spot.
The ambulance had just crossed 3rd and Main when Kirby slugged the guard. The driver was too busy dodging traffic to notice what was going on in back.
That's a lousy break.
Kirby jumped out of the back end of the ambulance and disappeared in the crowd. No sign of him since.
Well, that's fine. Takes us almost 3 months to reach the guy, and he breaks away on a cheap fluke like that.
Well, he doesn't have many friends in town. He's only got one we know of.
Yeah?
A brother. Kirby stays with him pretty often from what we could gather, and the brother lives in a roomy house down on Alameda.
Anybody checked that yet?
We've got it staked out.
And the brother works at a box factory in the south end of town. That's covered, too.
And he's not going far with a broken arm.
What have you got?
Pawn shop rolled up 6th Street. Happened a few minutes ago.
Yeah?
Here's the description of the horse, man.
Stocky build, blonde hair, horn-rimmed glasses, chubby.
You were wrong about that broken arm. Come on. 11:20 a.m. Ben and I pulled up at the East Asia pawn shop on 6th Street. Inside, we found the proprietor, Morris Brubaker, lying propped up against one of the showcases. He was an elderly man. His face and head showed the marks of a savage beating. His wounds were hemorrhaging badly, and ambulance attendants were giving him first aid. We showed him Charles Kirby's mugshot.
That's the man. I wouldn't make a mistake, that's him.
Was he alone, Mr. Brubaker?
Yes, by himself. He asked to look at a watch, and when I turned to get it, he kicked me. I fell against the showcase and cut myself. He pulled me in the back room. I didn't even know him. He kept beating me.
Easy, Mr. Brubaker. Let me get this conference on.
What did he get away with, do you know?
I'm not sure. A blue suit, blue overcoat, wraparound, and navy blue, both. He kept hitting me.
All right, sir, just take it easy. They'll have you out of here in a minute.
He kept hitting me like a crazy man.
This is antiseptic, my sting room. Okay.
What else did you take, Mr. Brubaker? Can you remember?
From the cash register, he took money.
How much?
$13.40, I can't be sure.
When he left your store, did you see which way he was going?
No, he dragged me in the back room. He locked me in.
Ready to move now, Sergeant.
Okay.
I don't know. I saw him going through the shelves there in the back of the counter. I don't know.
What'd you keep there?
My account books and my gun. A box of shelves, too.
You want to take a look, Ben?
Yeah. My head.
Yes, sir. Just take it easy. It's only going to be a minute.
The account books are still there.
Yeah?
He got the gun.
4 p.m. Kirby, alias the Badge Bandit, was still at large. As far as we were concerned, the case was almost back to where it started from 11 weeks before. The suspect was still loose. He was well armed. He was still free to rob, assault, or murder. We had two big advantages. Kirby's possible broken arm, which would need medical attention, and secondly, the lead to Kirby's brother. At 5:30 p.m., we had a report that the suspect was seen purchasing a ticket at a theater box office out on Hollywood Boulevard. We ran it down. It didn't pay off. At 6:15, a taxi driver thought he spotted Kirby boarding an outbound streetcar, Figaro and Pico. Was checked out. No results. At 7 o'clock, Ben and I got something to eat at a drive-in, and we relieved the men on stakeout at the rooming house on Alameda Street where Kirby's brother was staying. 10 p.m. Midnight. No sign of Kirby. We waited. At 3 a.m., Hanson and Cummings of Homicide relieved us, and Ben drove me home. It was 3:45 when he dropped me off at Collis Avenue, number 4656.
Joseph, that you?
Yeah, Ma, I didn't mean to wake you.
Well, what time is it?
Almost 4.
Oh, my. These late hours, you've got to get your rest, Joseph.
We'll be all right, Ma. Got something to eat in the icebox?
There's a little cold meat and some cheese in the cupboard.
Just want a sandwich. You're going back to sleep.
I had some nice meatballs and spaghetti for dinner. I can warm some for you. My, how Sandy is working all hours. You just get sick, Joseph, and you'll see. Nobody cares about you when you're sick.
I wish you wouldn't get up, Ma. I can fix something.
Well, warm up the meatballs and spaghetti. You need something substantial.
I get it.
4 a.m. I hope it's not that awful.
Hello?
Lorman down Homicide.
Yeah, Lorman.
Thought you'd like to know they just got Kirby.
Where?
At his brother's place about 15 minutes ago. Hanson and Cummings grabbed him.
Any trouble?
No. Grabbed him before he got to his gun. They just locked him up. Thought you'd like to know.
Yeah. Thanks, Lorman.
Night.
Night.
Well, that wasn't Joseph.
The office, Ma. They got Kirby, the Badge Bandit.
Oh, did they? Well, that's nice. Maybe you'll have some time off now.
Yeah. Never fails, does it? You work on a case for 3 months. Leave it for 30 minutes and it's all over.
Well, the food's warm. Is there anything else you want?
No, that's fine, Ma. You go on to bed.
Yeah. Well, all right, Joseph. Now, don't stay up too long.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Hey, Ma.
Yes, Joseph?
Have I still got that old tuxedo around?
The story you have just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
On June 27th, trial was held in Superior Court, Apartment 87, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. In a moment, the results of that trial. Charles Leon Kirby, alias the Badge Bandit, was tried and convicted in Superior Court on several counts of armed robbery, rape, and assault with intent to commit murder. He was sentenced to life imprisonment. After serving 1 year in the state penitentiary, he was judged insane and committed to the state mental hospital at Mendocino. After 2 months there, he escaped. Charles Kirby, alias the Badge Bandit, is still at large. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice for Dragnet comes from the Office of Chief of Police, W.A. Wharton.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
All right, welcome back here on the Hold Time Dragnet Show. Very interesting case. Kind of a reminder of how culture has changed a little bit in the last 50 years or so. I couldn't imagine them having a modern detective living at home with his mother. But I don't think there was much less of a stigma there, particularly, you know, you go out and do the job. Now, as I said, in later years, particularly when you get into television, you don't see this element at all. But I think it was a nice touch in the radio show. Given the general portrayal of, you know, of police officers and Joe Friday in general, it's almost a nice humanizing touch. In that particular format. So, again, that's,
Can I say something?
Sure.
So, at large, what is this, America's Most Wanted?
That was kind of an unusual thing, but that was part of the realism, that they go for. Because not all the times do criminals stay apprehended. Corey asked, why did they play the episode if this guy was still at large? Well, he'd already been convicted, so it wasn't like he was just wanted and, you know, had not been convicted. The good news is, by my figuring, at the time of this episode, he was at least, if the age is accurate, then that means at this point he would be 103. So I don't think anybody's got a whole lot to worry about at this point. But yeah, that was one of the interesting twists too, because they try and be accurate to the type of thing that police officers go through. And of course, the situation where, you know, you're always the one at the scene, and you're the one who gets the caller of the person you're chasing after as a police detective, which is what most shows do, really doesn't mesh with reality. And so they're unafraid to do some things that may not be as terribly dramatic, but are still accurate. The show is focused on accurately portraying police officers. So, I don't think they would have made the show if the guy had not been convicted and was still at large. Because if he didn't, if he wasn't proved, guilty at the end of the day, it would not look very good. Because it basically could, you know, lead to all types of legal problems for the show. And they were very good at avoiding that. But overall, it's very interesting. Portrayal. I would love that, because we had somebody who actually tracked down the truth of a couple of these stories. This is one I would love to find out the real story, particularly if they ever did capture the guy after 1950, because it would be very interesting to know. One thing I also found very interesting.
Was it caught because of Dragnet?
Could be, but of course they didn't show his picture for obvious reasons on the radio. But the other interesting thing to note, and I was just thinking about this tonight, one thing that makes Dragnet a lot different, particularly the radio version, a lot different from most of our modern police dramas and modern shows of any sort, is basically, on modern television shows, the commercial breaks are the key things. And so TV shows are made around hitting the commercial breaks at the exact right moment. Whereas Dragnet, I've begun to notice that the break could occur, that there's a middle break where normally they would insert the Fatima commercials. Now, of course, I edit these out, but I've noticed here that those could be, you know, could be as early as, say, 15 minutes into the show, or they could be as much as, you know, 19 minutes into the show. Really, it varies a whole lot. So they are more centered on the plot and telling the story rather than trying to get the suspenseful part before break, which is a very interesting concept. And I think one that I find very attractive, because that way the show's not being run around the commercials. The show's being run around the plot. So that, I think, is quite appealing. All right. Well, we will be back next. We won't be doing Dragnet Live next week. But we will be back with another episode of Dragnet next week, and then we will be doing Dragnet Live through the rest of December on Saturday night. And, oh, another thing I do want to go ahead and announce is we will go ahead and we will be doing another one of Jack Webb's shows coming up in January. I've decided we're going to do those like we did that one episode of Jeff Regan. We're going to do those once a quarter. So that way it doesn't detract from the show. It just becomes a nice addition. As always, email me if you've got any questions, concerns, or comments. Adam@adamsweb.us. Visit the blog www.orble.com/dragnet-radio-show. Visit our online community, dragnetradio.ning.com. And please cast your vote for us once every month at podcastalley.com. And just put Dragnet in the search bar, and it will pull up where you can go to vote. I do thank everyone so much for listening, and I thank especially Andrea, Corey, and also our two audio streamers who were here earlier in the show. We definitely appreciate our live listeners. For now, this is Adam Graham, signing off.